Welcome to the brainstorm. Frank is back because last week, right after we stopped discussing open source models, Kimmy K3 comes out and turns everyone into a frenzy here. Frank, what did they release? Should we be in a frenzy? Are the frontier labs threatened?
Yeah, I think it's really funny because it's being reported like another DeepSeek moment, which was, it feels like it was forever ago, but it was January of last year. Stocks sold off, the Chinese competitors to Moonshot that creates Kimmy sold off 28%. And in many ways, it is a great performing model from China. If you just look at the benchmarks, it's kind of in between Opus and Fable and GPT 5.6. But impressive as it is, I think it falls with the template of open source models are coming out and they're good, but they're in between the last generation and the latest generation. And we will see what real world usage looks like. I think an important thing to note, this Kimmy model is very big. It's 2.8 trillion parameters. It's the largest open source model that's ever been released. And when with a larger model comes higher operating costs. So Moonshot is offering this. List price is about half the cost of GPT 5.6 Sol, so $15 per million output tokens compared to $30 per million output tokens. But it's less token efficient. It takes twice the amount of tokens to respond. So you end up with the same average cost per task across the two models. So this is a competitive open source model, but it is not a lower cost model. And what we actually saw is that with all the news and reporting and interest in this Kimmy model, users flocked to their website, which is and their API, which is the only way you can get access to it now. The weights aren't actually open and available on US clouds until next week. And they had to turn off new users and the website kind of was non-functional, for me at least, which means we need a lot more compute to support the growing demand for models across different providers.
Right. So does this mean that NVIDIA takes an investment in them and then they become a neocloud?
Well, I think it's... we've seen NVIDIA invest in a lot of the model companies and neoclouds in the US. I think it's still dubious to be investing in the Chinese companies. I mean, you can even see what happened with Meta's acquisition of Manus or would-be acquisition of Manus. So I don't predict that anytime, but I do think Jensen will continue to lobby harder and harder to get NVIDIA chips into the hands of these model companies because clearly there is demand for it and they just don't have the infrastructure to support it.
Okay, Frank, you mentioned operating costs, which I think is a key element here. There's a Stratechery piece out this morning along similar lines. The way that I framed it, and would love to hear from you if this is even the right framing or not, was really, it's like the frontier. Everyone keeps saying the frontier, but what we define as the frontier for AI has continuously shifted. And so originally, it was just who has the smartest model. And then for a while, as all of these efficiencies on training, it was, oh, who has the smartest model at the lowest training cost? And now we're kind of in this phase of who has the smartest model with the lowest inference cost? And it seems like these open source models are really tackling the previous frontier, which is incredible models with extremely cheap training costs because they're just distilling other models. But really, if you're looking at, you know, the frontier for intelligence per unit cost, they're not as impressive and really don't compete with current frontier models.
Yeah. And I think the important thing is the latter point is what you need to be competitive in the market. You can assume that they have lower training costs because they're just distilling and they're not doing all of the kind of ground up reinforcement learning of the US frontier labs. But we really don't know how much they're spending, how much they're, borrowing the intelligence and the work and the R&D of the US companies and how much is being subsidized by the Chinese government. We also don't know what margins they're taking on the service they're providing. DeepSeek, for example, if you look at the list price of their V4 model provided by DeepSeek, is up to 10x lower than the cost on a US cloud like Microsoft Azure. So clearly there's something structurally different in the margins that those two companies are charging for that product. So all of that is unknown, but I think it's directionally right what you're saying. And I think, you know, I've been trying to do some work to see, to get data behind this argument of kind of the open versus closed models. And I think OpenRouter is one source of that data. We don't have perfect data going back throughout history. But if you just look at the top 20 models over the last 30 days, and you look at token volume, so this is number of tokens being consumed, open models versus closed models, it's about 75% open source models. So a vast majority of tokens are being consumed in the open model world on OpenRouter. But at the same time, if you look at where the dollars are flowing and where spend is going, it's going towards about 80% going towards the closed source models. So these are two opposite ends of the spectrum. There's a few things that factor in there, like some models listed on OpenRouter are temporarily free. They're also lower cost on average. But if we're looking out and trying to figure out the best investment opportunities, I think looking at where the dollars are flowing is a really important start, and then trending that over time. So, you know, you do see compared to a year ago, there is more spend on open models relative to closed. I think that's a really important variable to track.
All right, Nick, billions and billions of tokens. What is this? Is that for you? Is this just proof that, okay, maybe they're not there at the current frontier, but the OpenAI models are going to undercut all of the economics? What do you make of the Kimi release?
I think it's an open question. I mean, I think, you know, we can ask this question here, but it's very clear, if we want to frame it as a question, is the frontier getting more crowded, and has it gotten crowded over the last 6 months? I think the answer is yes. I mean, if you want to like argue a few percentage points higher on X, Y, and Z benchmark is the frontier, then okay, maybe it's still OpenAI and Anthropic flip-flopping each other. But I think in terms of having models out there that are good enough, if not way too good, to be used for certain tasks within the knowledge worker space, then yes, it's gotten very crowded. And I think that is a tough position to be in if you're one of these. I know Frank doesn't like the term model companies. He wants to call them agent companies. Then, you know, I think those two companies specifically, like I would say it this way, I think it's they're very lucky to not be public companies right now, because my guess is their stocks would be getting absolutely crushed. Versus where I think the value continues to accrue is at that infrastructure as a service layer. And Frank, you and I have spoken about this. And the reason I don't think this is another DeepSeek moment, because everyone has already learned that, you know, a new open source model coming into the world isn't negative for NVIDIA, for AMD, for the infrastructure. It's actually a very big positive. If you look at, you know, all of the major CEOs, that's what they're saying. And so I think everyone's learned their lesson from the original DeepSeek. So no one's really selling off the vast majority of these semiconductor names outside of the fact that they were kind of already selling off before this. And then I think the question is, you know, what happens to the model companies, to the agent companies? And I think the more that open source continues to deliver, the more it continues to get close to the frontier, the more the harness, the orchestration layer becomes that much more important, where the company or the product that you're using, when you query it, it can use the most efficient model for that specific task. And, you know, Frank, you've rightly pointed out, well, yes, if you have a model company like OpenAI that has a frontier model and then a ton of models underneath the frontier that are cost efficient, that's great, right? But it is still a singular product, and companies don't want to have lock-in value. And if anything, what open source models do, it allows an enterprise, when they go to renegotiate their contract, or if there are ongoing contract negotiations with OpenAI and Anthropic, to say, well, you know, last time we had this call, I didn't have another option. Now I have a few more. And so I think if anything, it just puts pricing pressure on the frontier. It will, you know, compress margins eventually. It'll force these companies to really begin to look at their business model. And that, I think, is just an open question debate around, you know, when that kicks in, if it ever happens. It could not, right? Like, these companies could just continue to profit indefinitely off of inference. But I think that's, if anything, kind of, you know, the way that I've been thinking about it, where it's like there's nuance here. It's not just, you know, Kimi K3 came in and everyone's dead. It's more like it just has gotten, you know, to a point where everything's getting more crowded. Everything's becoming cost competitive. Companies are looking at the bottom line. We're not in the token maxing Q1 2026, you know, era anymore. We're in cost efficiency, growth at, you know, not all costs, but we need to understand how is this actually delivering productivity lifts. And that's like more of a concern than Kimi K3, in my opinion.
Well, I do think this makes the demand, Frank, you said this, for energy way greater. And it's like that phase feels like it's already passed, right? Where everyone was like, oh, we need to build so much energy. There's all these energy constraints. And it moved on to other avenues. Certainly, we're seeing pushback on data centers, you know, the New York 1 year moratorium. But it's like, I think the degree to which energy infrastructure is going to need to be built, that's going to come back around in a way bigger way than it had in the previous cycle.
Well, it's gonna come around this week, because you're going to hear every single major cloud company say, we continue to have more demand than we have supply. We're building data centers as fast as possible. We're raising our CapEx guide, and we don't have enough. So I think this is just incremental, or maybe a continuation of a strong trend of needing more compute infrastructure, and you need the power for that. I think that's for sure going to continue. I don't see consuming fewer tokens in our future. Like, I think we're nowhere near saturated on the total demand for AI intelligence. I do agree we need to figure out the right ways, and maybe it'll be different by industry, to demonstrate the ROI on that spending, because these numbers are now big enough where that matters. But I think the total amount of spending is going to grow. And I also think that optimizations are good. When we optimize, we increase ROI, return on our spend, which is going to allow us and incentivize us to spend more.
All right, Frank, Brett sent out a tweet saying, you know, anyone who passes the bar is a lawyer, but people still hire and pay a lot for the best lawyer. You said you had a dream and he incepted you of the same thing. Can you break down what you are both concurrently thinking?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's that, one, a benchmark doesn't tell the whole story. And then, two, why would you pay for higher intelligence versus good enough intelligence? So you can get a basic understanding of somebody's intelligence and knowledge based on the degree that they have. Or, you know, I finished a, you know, business or computer science degree, for example. But there's a spectrum within there. And there's reasons why you would pay for the higher end of the talent versus not. I think one of the things that it's kind of tangential to that, but that I've been thinking of is when you have a clearly well-defined and well-specified task, you want to use the cheapest model that can get the task done, right? That's where you get a lot of optimization. If you can design this perfect workflow where the task is straightforward and I can use a really low-cost model instead of using a quote-unquote overkill model. But if you have some level of ambiguity in that task, and this varies based on how much ambiguity, you need intelligence to fill in the gaps and route around that ambiguity, in which case I think it is beneficial to have the smartest model figuring out how to fill in the gaps. If nothing more than if you have a lower cost model that isn't as good at filling the gaps, it will waste time and spend a bunch of tokens just in trying to do that and end up being more expensive anyways. So I think the scope for the kind of smartest model or the highest end frontier in part is driven by this, how well defined are your tasks? And if you think about the history of software, I think there is a much broader scope of tasks that are poorly defined than tasks that are well defined. And you can understand that just by looking at the size of UiPath's business. If every task was easily discreetly defined, RPA would be much, much bigger than a couple billion-dollar market.
But you're speaking specifically about software, right? Like in the workflow of software. I think, is it safer to say that if you were to extend that to kind of all knowledge work, think about a lawyer's job, aren't a lot of processes pretty well defined?
I don't know. I actually think they're probably more defined in certain areas of software. If you have, you know, your CRM process for how you move a lead across a pipeline and tag it as one thing versus another thing, then if you look at the varied demands, even you picture investment analysts, so we can talk about our own job versus the jobs we don't have. Like, our jobs do have patterns to them, but each day is very different in terms of the scope of tasks that we're offered.
But I think there's still, yes, yeah, that's fair. I guess the other question is, when is good enough just extremely intelligent? As in, like,
yes,
at a certain,
I think that's
point,
a good question.
Model is actually a PhD, Harvard grad lawyer that you can then query. And I guess, yes, the response might be then, well, that PhD model is going up against AGI or like super intelligence.
Yeah,
and therefore, it's on a relative basis, actually quite dumb. So then maybe that's the answer. But to me, I think a lot of work out there can get done already with the current slate of models, and that these next maybe potential performance improvements aren't really for everyone. And maybe the answers they give out, we won't even be able to understand because we ourselves are too dumb.
I think that's what the AI
is telling us to do.
I think that it's like, if you take a step back, software is just pretty bad, broadly speaking. It's like, it's amazing. So let's not, you know, undersell that. It's amazing relative to where we came from, but relative to where we're going, I'd say software is incredibly inflexible and has yet to really penetrate a ton of different markets and opportunities here. And so there's this huge opportunity, you know, forget AGI or anything like that, just good software continuing to eat the world.
Well, and maybe the other question, I'll pose it to both of you here, is just being able to query an extremely intelligent model the goal here, or is it to ultimately have a model that delivers real productivity lift, however you measure that as a firm? So shouldn't we be evaluating these models on actual productivity relative to a firm? Because I think it's easy to say, I'm more productive with AI. But does that then translate into, well, now this business is better, seeing higher sales? No, not necessarily.
Well, that's on the companies. Each company is going to need to figure that out, but I 100% agree.
But I think that's the issue at hand, right?
Yeah.
Like that, we need to go through that wave of where companies have to go in and say, yes, you guys are all incredibly more productive, but our sales are the same. So clearly we're doing something wrong. And I think that, like, you guys are having dreams about PhD, whatever you guys are dreaming about, you and Brett. I'm having dreams, reoccurring dreams, of that Brian Armstrong graph where he's showing tokens being used, inflecting higher, but costs coming down. And to me, that, I think, is the real narrative that should scare model companies, agent companies out there, where it's, yes, I actually agree with you and Brett on all of the PhD. Yes, you should be willing to pay for a smarter model, but it doesn't, in practice, maybe make sense for most companies because they might not be seeing a performance improvement. And you don't want your entry-level hire using that model because the work you've been giving them isn't, you know, it doesn't deliver real value for the assignment you've given.
I just think that's a natural evolution, right? It's like electricity to be turned into useful outputs, and like a industry to be built around it took time. I think the same thing is true with this, where right now it's like people are playing with raw electricity. We went through everyone token maxing, which I'll equate to, you know, touching
money,
the electric
money on
and,
fire.
Yeah, exactly. Everyone's like, "Ooh, this is really powerful." And you know, you touch it and you're like, "Ow." And you're like, "What happens if I really grab it?" And you get burnt.
Well, I would love to do a 1-year check-in on the Brian Armstrong chart. I would be willing to bet that Coinbase
money goes
spending,
up.
They're spending more on AI 1 year from now than they're spending right now.
Yeah.
But on a per token basis, it might be down. And that might be how they're
sure. That's cost declines. Every year you get cheaper
But that's
same
still,
intelligence for a lower cost.
But that's not great for everyone. Just because you say cost declines, that's good. Yes, that's how natural, you know, that's the evolution of technology. That doesn't mean there aren't companies that go up in flames because of those cost declines.
If you're on the wrong side of it, you're caught out for sure. But you want to be the company that's providing those more efficient tokens, and then you're good. And if you look at the, like, and that's why I think watching not just like the smartest model, but the models across all the different points of the cost curve are important. So we'll do more work on that. But another thing you alluded to, Nick, on terms of like the ROI 100% and getting work done, I'll tie it back into building good agents and building good products is like the important thing there, where you need to have a intuitive tool for people to use that harnesses the intelligence of these models, that people enjoy using, that you're improving rapidly, that integrates into all these other tools. And right now, the most used agent apps are OpenAI and Anthropic. I probably sound like a broken record. I probably said this last week, but like, please, I'm calling out to see what the best independent agent harness, like ready for enterprise use app is, because it doesn't really exist yet.
Wasn't that the argument for the clouds?
Well, I mean, they benefit no matter who's consuming tokens, right? But like, who is going to provide that application that I'm going to install or the website I'm going to go to that's not ChatGPT or Claude?
All right. Well, let's leave it with a cliffhanger.
Our not a cliffhanger. Media. A question for the audience.
A question for the audience. Nick, Frank, we no longer have the World Cup. We no longer have the Olympics. What are we predicting? Where is it? Just is Kalshi just going to politics as we approach the fall here? Or is there some some exciting markets we should be watching?
Well, Kalshi launched the. We talked about this last week, I think. But prediction markets for compute. Do you guys think the average cost of a H100 is going to be higher or lower next month?
Higher.
I'll go lower. I think you have enough capacity on Blackwell and Vera Rubin ramping that H100 price goes down.
All right. So the answer is no, nothing too exciting.
What do you mean? Compute futures are exciting.
It's true. Compute futures, lots of people going after it. You know, tons of opportunity out there as well. All right, we'll see everyone next week.
ARK Investment Management LLC is an SEC registered investment advisor. ARK, Wolf Financial, and Public are separate, unaffiliated entities and do not have a relationship with respect to any company marketing or selling the products or services of the others. ARK, Wolf Financial, and Public make no representation or warranties regarding and expressly disclaim any responsibility or liability for any acts, omissions, losses, or damages of the other entities or their affiliates, officers, employees, or agents. No company shall be liable for any indirect, incidental, consequential, or special damages arising out of or in connection with this podcast or its contents. The information provided in this show is for informational purposes only and should not be used as the basis for any investment decision and is subject to change without notice. It does not constitute either explicitly or implicitly any provision of services or products by ARK, and investors should determine for themselves whether a particular investment management service is suitable for their investment needs. All statements made regarding companies or securities are strictly beliefs and points of view held by ARK and or show guests and are not endorsements by ARK of any company or security or recommendations by ARK to buy, sell, or hold any security. Historical results are not indications of future results. Certain of the statements contained in this show may be statements of future expectations and other forward-looking statements that are based on ARK's current views and assumptions and involve known and unknown risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results, performance, or events to differ materially from those expressed or implied in such statement. ARK assumes no obligation to update any forward-looking information. ARK and its clients, as well as its related persons, may, but do not necessarily, have financial interests in securities or issuers that are discussed. Certain information was obtained from sources that ARK believes to be reliable. However, ARK does not guarantee the accuracy or completeness of any information obtained from any third party.